I'm going to talk about how to bring healing to this world. Would I be right in assuming that we would all agree that this world could do with a little bit of healing?
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of pain, of discord, going as far as wars, civil wars, wars between countries, and even within nations, not only civil wars, but in effect, great distress between certain segments of populations separated over various issues, from poverty through to racial and cultural issues. There's tremendous discord in our world today. I'm sure that if we just open up a browser and go to any website of our choice, we will find a new story of human pain every day on any news outlet you choose to look at. Today or any other day, the world needs healing. What can bring us the healing that we need? I'm so delighted that we have so many nations represented here today.
Amen.
This shows us that people can come together in unity and harmony and love, centered on what God has done for us. I'm just curious, actually, how many nations we have here today. Maybe I'll go by continent. So let me start with Antarctica. Anybody from Antarctica? No? Getting close. Cold enough anyway. Okay. What about South America? Anybody from South America? Oh, we're missing there. Okay, I was in Mexico 2 weeks ago, so we've got to figure that out. Okay, what about North America? North America? Okay. Oh, well, Central and South. I stand corrected. Thank you, geography teacher. All right, so North America, okay. What about what we might call Asia? Asia, yes, okay. It's India, subcontinent, over towards China. And okay, excellent, thank you very much. And what about Australasia? I don't think we have anybody, do we? Australasia, Australia, New Zealand, all those kind of places. In that area, no, we don't. Okay, so we're missing out there. And what about Europe as a whole? Not Europe as a political entity, but as a geographical reality. Okay, geographically. Okay, and finally, I had to leave this to last, but what about Africa?
I'm sorry, okay.
Just need to tell the African, settle down, you're in England now. Some decorum. Just kidding. And sorry, the Caribbean, right?
Yeah.
I didn't count it as a continent in my head, so it's kind of my left. I'm really sorry. But we have a Caribbean represented. Excellent. All right, did I miss anybody out? Did I miss any areas of the world? So we've got a lot of different countries represented, even amongst the different continents. Lots of different differences and different things that we can celebrate. Because we all bring something special to this world, don't we?
Yeah.
God didn't make us all the same. We're all the same value to Him, but we don't all have the same qualities. I think that's wonderful. I'm sure that, of course, we all like to celebrate the differences, and we like to celebrate our own things, like Chinese New Year, right? I mean, it's fun to celebrate. Do you celebrate Chinese New Year?
Mm-hmm.
You go, yeah. You need to tell us about how we can participate in that in some way, right? I don't know what that's like, but that would be fun. Or recently, this month, of course, was, in fact, today, did you know this? It's today, in India, is National Air Force Day. Did you guys know that? Honestly, what's going on? But celebrate that, okay? Air Force Day. Nigerian independence?
October 1st.
Right, okay, so did you know that today is National Flutter Nutter Day?
Yeah.
Michelle knows all about this.
Yes, it's marshmallow cream.
Ooh.
And peanut butter.
Marshmallow cream. Banana peanut butter sandwich. Heart attack in a sandwich. Have you made any for us today? Have you got any in the bag? No, okay. Today, National Flutter Nutter Day. We love to celebrate all kinds of things, of course, and births and marriages and birthdays and wedding anniversaries. Penny and I had our 32nd wedding anniversary this year. We celebrated that, we enjoyed that. I'm a Christian 33 years next month, and on the 2nd of November, and you know, those are 2 days that are very important to me. I always remember the 24th of August as a special day for me, that's our wedding day, and the 2nd of November, that's my spiritual birthday. And these are special days, and we like to celebrate these things, and it's good to celebrate these things. We have a lot to celebrate. Of course, I expect you're all familiar with the fact that the 9th of May is Europe Day, and perhaps, does anybody know when Africa Day is? Come on, you Africans. Don't Google it. During my sermon, the 25th of May. Now you've got another thing to celebrate there, the 25th of May. What I'm saying is there are some things that are more meaningful to us than other things.
Yeah.
Just because we're from the same country, the same culture, doesn't actually mean we're very unified. There's something else that needs to gel us together, that needs to work us together. And if we don't understand our purpose on earth, if we don't understand what truly should connect us, we are going to not only personally miss out, but the world is going to be in a lot more pain than it needs to be. Let me show you a short video clip of a poem that you may be familiar with, but if you've not heard this before, I'd like to encourage you to think about the words as you hear this. We're going to do our best to play this clip at this time, and the poem is called The Cold Within. So let's see if we can click on that link. And
six humans trapped by happenstance in bleak and bitter cold. Each possessed a stick of wood, or so the story's told. Their dying fire in need of logs, the first man held his back. For of the faces round the fire, he noticed one was black. The next man looking across the way saw one not of his church, and couldn't bring himself to give the fire his stick of birch. The third one sat in tattered clothes. He gave his coat a hitch. Why should his log be put to use to warm the idle rich? The rich man just sat back and thought of the wealth he had in store and how to keep what he had earned from the lazy, shiftless poor. The black man's face bespoke revenge as the fire passed from his sight. For all he saw in his stick of wood was a chance to spite the white. The last man of this fallen group did naught except for gain. Giving only to those who gave was how he played the game. Their logs held tight in death's still hand was proof of human sin. They did not die from the cold without. They died from the cold within.
Is a change of heart. If something's going to change in our world, something's got to change inside. Turn to Revelation 7 with me. Let's have a look. Verse 9 there. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude. No one could count from every nation. Jesus doesn't want anybody left out. Every nation. Every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes, holding palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." It's every nation, it's every tribe, it's every people, it's every kind of person. God wants everybody there. Another passage in Timothy says that God wants all men to be saved. He wants all people to be saved, not just one or two, not just the rich, not just the poor, not just any particular type, not even just those who particularly find themselves at home in church and like going to church. He wants all people to be with him forever, to enjoy what we were destined and designed to enjoy, eternal relationship with God, our maker, our creator, the one who is the only one who can give us pure joy and pure peace and a lasting joy and a lasting peace. If he's going to give us that, something's got to change inside. Because I don't know about you, but in my natural state, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, no.
I'm not ready for this. I have prejudices, I have biases, I have all kinds of strange thinking in my head from my upbringing and my own sin.
Yeah.
This was exposed to me when I moved to London 30 odd years ago. So I grew up just in a very sheltered kind of background and home. My parents are wonderful parents, but we lived in villages and in the countryside, and I went to a school in my local town of 600 odd pupils. In my 7 years of attending that school, there was no Chinese, no Indian, one black of pupil in 7 years among 600 pupils. I didn't meet a black person until I was 16. I say black, I don't know quite if that's the right, you know, I'm just saying different cultures, okay? And I went to university, again, I didn't meet anybody from a different background. Maybe they were there, but I didn't notice them. Something about the way life viewed people, I guess. I moved to London, and I moved into a house of people who went to a church like this, but in London. And in that church, we had one Nigerian, three Irish, and one Dutch. And it was a bit of a cultural shock for me. I found myself feeling extremely uncomfortable. I would have considered myself to be somebody who was broad-minded and open-minded. But confronted with the reality of sharing a house with five other people from different cultures, I discovered in myself tremendous prejudices and hesitations and fears. Some of you will know Charles Adiku, who was the Nigerian man in the house. We were all 20-something and young and single. And this is going to sound terrible, but I didn't have a conversation with him for several weeks because I didn't know how to talk to him. I didn't think we had anything in common, and so I actually didn't even, I mean, I think I said hello, but I didn't have a conversation. The Dutch fella, I mean, he was nice, but I couldn't understand him. And two of the Irish fellas didn't open their mouths when they talked. I found it quite difficult to understand them because the lips didn't seem to move. What happened? That plus the Irish accent. I couldn't understand. And I went to a church like this where there were lots of different nationalities. And I had this kind of thing where it was wonderful but uncomfortable at the same time. Because I realized, I think this is what God wants. All the churches I'd grown up in were all one kind of racial group or cultural group. But now I was in this situation where I thought, this is good, but I don't know if I want to be here. Because I'm feeling very uncomfortable. I had to recognize I have to change. Something has to change in me. And then one of the Irishmen, Chris, and an American of all people, honestly, I never thought this would happen. An American and an Irishman asked me whether I would like to look at the Bible with them and find out more about what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. Not just a churchgoer, but a real follower of Jesus with a heart for people like Jesus had, where he didn't see the differences. He didn't care about the differences. He loved everybody equally.
Yeah.
And he, frankly, got on with everybody. All kinds of people were comfortable. find out more about that. And I thought, well, okay, if it has to be an Irishman and an American, okay. So we started doing some Bible studies and looking at what it really meant to be a disciple. And it was at that time that I began to realize, okay, I need to change. Something's got to change in me. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I just want to share this with us. In Acts chapter 2, and we don't have time to look at the whole of this passage and all of the significance in it, but in Acts chapter 2, we find that after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected, the Holy Spirit comes on those first Christians, those first disciples of Jesus, comes down, and is a remarkable event where they all speak in various languages. Languages of all the nations of the people gathered in Jerusalem for Passover, which was going on at that time. And they hear them speaking in their own languages. Let's pick it up in verse 4. All of them, this is the disciples, the apostles, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." I don't know about you, but one of the side effects of having too much wine is not usually that you can speak a foreign language. It might sound like it, but that's not actually what happens, right? So they're perplexed, they're confused, and it turns out that they begin to listen to Peter, and he preaches about Jesus, he tells them what's actually really going on. They're hearing it in their own language. It's a miraculous thing. And at the end of it, let's go on to, let's pick it up in verse 36. In summarizing the message here, he says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this." And I think the "all" is significant because he's talking about all Israel as in all these different national branches of Judaism in the different countries and different languages. "All Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." And I had a similar experience in some ways, in that as I read the Bible and realized my heart was far from God, and I realized what Jesus had done for me, then I became cut to the heart. As I came face to face with my prejudices and my biases and my lack of love towards my fellow human being, it cut me to the heart. It made me realize, rather than feeling uncomfortable in this multinational church and this multinational household, I should celebrate it and embrace it. And so, on the 2nd of November, 1984, I was baptized into Christ, having repented. And I gained the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, a new heart. And I went back that night. I remember going back home after that night and going home and realizing Charles Aliku is my Nigerian brother. Yeah. He's not just a Nigerian housemate. I still didn't know how to talk to him, but I was now on an adventure to find out how. I wanted to know. And my Dutch friend, Groot Verheyen. I got to know him. And my my Irish friends, I got to know them. And Chris ended up being best man at my wedding. And Charles was one of our ushers and so on. And it's been an adventure ever since then, learning how to appreciate the differences that God has given us. It brought healing to my heart. And because God brought healing to my heart, I think God can use my heart to help others. And I think that's true for every one of us here today. But you and I cannot help people out there unless something has changed our heart in here. I would like to leave us with this thought before we take communion. The thought is this. If you've had your heart changed, two things to ponder. If you've had your heart changed by what God has done, what Jesus has done for you, you've had that experience. You've had that moment of repentance, that true turning, that's what that word really means, that true turning from one way of viewing God and life, and the Christian life, and sin and righteousness. If you've had that turning from that to the new life, I'd like to encourage you to ask yourself how much healing you're bringing people different to you. It's not so hard to bring healing to people like we connect more easily, but that doesn't mean it's the power of God. I think bringing people to healing to people a bit like us is less to do with the power of God. Bringing healing to people who are different to us, it's much more about the power of God. That's where we're working in faith, not by sight. If you've had that experience, are you doing this? My second thing for us to ponder is this. If you've not had that experience, you've not had this change of heart, this allowing God in to completely change you, like it talks about there in Acts 2, if you've not had that, can I appeal to us to allow God to give him the chance to change you from the inside out? So that the cold without is changed because the cold within has been changed. Then you and I can go and make a difference in this world. And whatever politicians do or don't do, whatever relief agencies do or don't do, whatever influential people do or don't do, whatever the global situation is, we can help the nations be healed. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is amazing. His love, his compassion, he had no boundaries, he didn't put up any walls. He loved all people. And the cross shows us that. He went to the cross not for one people. He went to the cross for all peoples, all tribes, all nations, so that we could worship together and enjoy the new life that he has given us. What we have here, my friends, here is very special. But what we have available to us in here, with God's help, is very special. We can bring healing to the nations if we are healed ourselves. Let's pray and then we'll take communion together. Father, we want to thank you that you have loved us, though we are so different from you. It's hard for us to imagine, Father, what it's like for you to contemplate us. We are made in your image, but we are so different. We are so impure, and we are so weak. We are mortal. Yet, Father, you've loved us so much that you are willing to allow your Son to die in our place. Father, I pray help us to embrace your love. Help us to let your love change us. That your love would help us to love other people, especially God, that your love would help us to love people different from us. Father, I pray that as we take the bread and wine, that this remembrance of what Jesus did for us will strengthen us to do similar acts of love for other people. As he sacrificed himself for us, help us to sacrifice for other people. As he loved us by giving his body on that cross and shedding his blood, help us to be strengthened by that remembrance to then go and serve other people. As he served us with his whole body and his whole life, help us to serve those in this world who need healing. We're very grateful for Jesus, the great healer. And we pray that you help us to be his healing hands in this world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.